Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. You know that performance counts, so put your pension in the hands of our experts. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
But now there's been a 35% increase in termination notices issued by landlords to tenants in the third quarter of this year compared to the same period in 2024. The trend comes ahead of a new rental rules by government which are due to come into force in March of next year. Under the rules, landlords with more than three properties will only be able to evict in limited circumstances. For smaller landlords, they will only be able to ask for a tenant to leave if the owner of the property must sell due to financial hardship or if the property is needed for a relative. But the figure also shows that the number of registered tenancies has grown by 1.9% annually to a total of just over 240,000. Regina Mangan is an estate agent in Liberty Blue in Waterford. Regina, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Katie.
Regina, those figures of the 35% increase in termination notices, we also hear that over 60% of those were landlords saying that they were selling up. How does that tally with what you're seeing on the ground there in Waterford?
I think the situation is going to get significantly worse. It's in line with the number of small property owners within our portfolio that are selling up. I spoke to an agent today and 15% of her property owners are selling up at the moment. And we also have to factor in that that data covers the summer where people maybe might not have been focused on their plan for the future. And I'm really, really worried.
And what are they saying to you is behind this, Regina?
So I spoke to one property owner this afternoon. And he has two properties on the market. He's given notice to his tenants. He's in his 70s. And I said, look, I call him John. I said, John, why are you selling? Even though I already knew the answer. And he said, look, Regina, he said, I can't be in a situation where I have to sell with the tenant in situ and I can't sell for another 6 years. And the problem is that if you sell a house with a tenant in situ, then that means it's likely that you will see your asset devalued somewhere between 40 and 50%. So I said, look, the government is saying you can't sell for 6 years. I think a reasonable compromise, I think they really need to look at reducing that timeline to 3 years.
Okay, just to be clear about that figure, reducing your asset by 40 to 50%, is that... That's an estimate of you in terms of...
Well, I'll explain it. I've seen it on the ground. So, for example, if you've got a four-bedroom house on the Dunmore Road in Waterford, let's say it's worth 400,000 and you have a tenant renting it and you want to sell the property for whatever reasons and you have to sell with the tenant in situ, the only person that will buy that is an investor because a homeowner cannot buy it because it's occupied by a tenant. And so an investor will buy based on the return on investment, and the maximum rent is probably 1800. It would not make financial sense to pay the market rent, the market sale price. And that's the issue.
And the issue is that from next summer, landlords will be required to offer 6 year leases to their tenants.
That's correct. The tenant can leave of their own accord, of course, if they choose. But it is a lease that you cannot give notice to the tenant unless in extreme circumstances, i.e. that you are needing to move back into the property yourself. And there's so many parts of the legislation that are going to add to the problem that we've already got. Like, you are talking about increasing homelessness significantly. Where will these tenants go? Because there aren't new investors really coming into the marketplace, not in rural Ireland, outside of Dublin.
Yeah, because I was going to say that we did quote that figure as well, that actually while the number of landlords is going down, the number of registered tenancies has grown actually by almost 2% over the last while. So the number of tenancies is growing, but not in rural Ireland is what you're saying.
Not outside Dublin, because we don't have those big funds outside of Dublin. They don't exist because we don't have the same environment as the capital city of Ireland.
But is this not good news for first-time buyers and people who want to, you know, are scrambling to get out of a private rental situation and actually get, you know, have their own home and not have all of these worries about whether their lease is up or not?
So if you have a situation where you have increased supply, okay, for sale, that's okay, positive for one group of people. What about the people who can not afford to buy their own home? We have lots of tenants who will not be able to buy their own home for whatever reason. Where will they go? They will fall into the homelessness trap. That's the real issue we've got here. And we need a functioning economy. Where will the health workers rent if there's no stock outside of Dublin?
Indeed. OK, well, I'll get more on that. I'll let you go, Regina. Many thanks for joining us with that perspective from the southeast. That's Regina Mangan, who is an estate agent in Liberty Blue in Waterford. And I'll go over now to Mike Allen, Director of Advocacy at Focus Ireland. Mike, these figures that have come out today, they're being tied to the latest changes to the private rental sector that have been introduced by the government. What do you make of them?
Yeah, so hello, Katie. I think they're extremely frightening. I agree with your previous speaker that these are really, really frightening figures. It's even more frightening to hear. I saw a quote from the Taoiseach saying that this was just sort of normal churn in the market. If you look at the evictions, the no-fault evictions to sell, the increase isn't just the percentage you're talking about, but it's a 50% increase in that particular form of notice of termination. And not all those families or households are going to become homeless, but all of them face a very, very high risk of homelessness. So it's a much larger number of homeless households are going to be coming to local authorities and so on early next year than we've been seeing even up to now. So as you say, it clearly is a response of landlords to what the government have announced in terms of changes. But I think the fundamental thing that we need to get across here this isn't a problem of bad policy in this particular area. It's a problem of miscommunication of the policy, because when you're talking there, it's as of March next year, a new tenancy as of March next year will have to be under the new conditions. But if a landlord has a tenant now, in March next year, that tenancy doesn't change. The tenancy remains the current circumstances. So I think this is absolutely huge problem of landlords panicking, very bad communication from government. The government has the names and addresses, the telephone numbers of those 3,000 landlords who have just given notice of termination. They should be having a very targeted communication to those landlords saying, look, this is the reality of the change that's being made. It isn't going to have the impact on you that you think it's going to have, or at least it's not going to have in the time frame you think it is. Will you change your mind? Because the consequences for those families and for our homeless system, if they don't get those, if they don't do that, are just going to be appalling.
Yeah, because that client that Regina spoke of there seemed to be under the impression that they'd be caught if they didn't get out of the market, if they didn't get rid of that house before these new rules come in. But those rules won't affect that landlord.
They won't affect the same. I might be critical of them, say that they should have done it, but it's quite clear that the minister was right in not making that affect him. What he and the government spokespeople have been completely wrong at is they have completely and utterly failed to communicate to that landlord. And this has happened over the last 10 years, that there's been repeated measures which governments have taken, which they talk about protecting tenants, but as all that they've done is constantly upset and annoy and make landlords feel insecure. So you've had this 10 years of things which have been proposed as making people more secure, which have ended up making them less secure because they've been badly framed, usually badly designed. That's not so much the problem in this case, but always really, really badly communicated to landlords, causing huge fear amongst landlords, particularly the older landlords that you were just talking about there. Maybe that landlord is going to leave in a few years' time when the current tenants move on, but having all those landlords leaving in that large group is absolutely it's going to be really frightening. The other thing we're saying they should do, we're saying that they know the names and contact details, all these landlords. Why aren't they contacting? And the other thing we need to say is the only programme, the only safety net the government put in place for this sort of eventuality, which has been happening, it's the biggest cause of family homelessness for 10 years, is the tenant in situ scheme, which is where the local authority or an approved housing body when the landlord wants to sell up and the tenant is eligible for social housing, the local authority of the approved housing body buys it and keeps the person away from homeless and keeps them in their home. That isn't even mentioned at all in the government's new housing and homeless programme. And while the minister, when he came in, seemed to take the funding away from it. He reversed that in October, very welcome for that. But he put in about another 90 million, which is probably enough to buy about 400 homes. He's going to have to double that expenditure intentions in situ if he's going to do anything to stop the consequences of what's happening here.
Can I put you what I put to Regina there, that given that we're not building enough houses or in some places hardly any houses at all, is this not good news for that small, that section of people who are first-time buyers, maybe desperately trying to save and get out of the private rental sector and have a home of their own? Because this is putting more stock into the market, right?
So I know that people are desperate to buy and the problems that are causing for them in those circumstances. But I don't think there's anybody in this country who wants to get their own home and get their first start on the ladder by making another family homeless. So I don't think even the individuals in those things are going to see that as a positive thing. The other, from our point of view as a homeless organisation, those people who are potential first-time buyers, a lot of sympathy for them, and obviously we need to do a lot more for them. But they aren't at risk of homelessness. Very often that the households are going to be evicted. Remember, these are people who've been paying their rent. These people didn't see any of this coming. They're probably working, they're, you know, settled into their communities, doing everything they need to do as a tenant. Now they're suddenly fit, there's no determination. They are at risk of homelessness. And as a society, I think we've got to prioritise people who are at risk of homelessness or homeless, as opposed to people who have legitimate aspirations but aren't so much at risk. That's where we are with this. So equally in that as well, while it's welcome that there are more places to rent, those rental properties that are coming in onto the market are coming at the top of the market. The people who are being evicted from these small landlord properties are very unlikely to be able to afford the rents in the new places that are coming on. So that's why this is people being squeezed out of the housing market into homelessness, and we've got to care about that.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you about that figure then, the 1.9% increase in registered tenancies. That is not going to soak up the fallout from this.
Not in the numbers and not in the, if you like, the income level and the demographic of the people. Ultimately, this is about our failure to deliver social housing over many, many years. The government have, you know, obviously they stopped building housing during the crash, and they failed to hit their own social housing targets every year since then, essentially. So that's, you know, an awful lot of the people at risk of long-term homelessness who are facing eviction now, many of them should be in social housing. And so the underlying solution to this is not, to this particular problem we're talking about here, is not getting investors in to buy top-end apartments. The answer to it is actually hit the actual construction target for building social housing, which has never been achieved in for years and years.
Ultimately, we're seeing, as you say, this big spike in the final quarter of this year. But would you fear, as Regina fears, that actually it will be in the first quarter of next year that we will see even higher numbers?
Well, absolutely. In the data that the RTB published today, which is worth saying, it's brilliant that the RTB is able to give us that sort of clarity. But good data about social problems only matters if the government then does something about having that data. So that data shows that most of the notices of termination for these people who got notices of termination in Q3 this year, most of those terminations come up in early next year. So there's a long lead-in time. So those people are desperately looking for somewhere else to live over Christmas because they know they have to get out of the place early in the new year. And I'm sorry to say they're going to find that very, very hard to find anywhere and very, very hard to find at prices they can afford. If they're on HAP, the government hasn't increased the level of HAT payment that they there for over 10 years, and it's going to be sometime later next year before they have a review about those levels. So that's going to squeeze people even further.
If we could maybe end in one positive note, is that, Mike, if I can get you to do this.
Try and find one.
Yeah. It's the fact that ultimately the policy at the heart of this, which is the six-year leases for tenants, is something that you, I'm sure, very much welcome.
Very definitely. But it's the timescale that is going to happen. Probably the government is right. We would have said, look, the changes they've made will mean that it's going to be 15, 20 years before we have the sort of private rental market in which people have the security that they want, because they didn't change the things, change the rules for existing tenants. So we thought we would like that to be quicker. But it's quite clear why they tried to do that, because they didn't want to upset existing landlords frightened. They just failed to communicate that. So I think this is very much not a case. There have been many cases of bad policy over the last number of years. I don't think this is a case of bad policy. I think it's a really, really bad case of policy communication. And the good news is there is time, because the RTB has given us this data, to do something about that.
Okay, on that one, thank you. That's Mike Allen there, Director of Advocacy at Focus Ireland. Coming up, taxi drivers hold go slows around Dublin over Uber changes, plus from the Glacier Express to the Caledonian Sleeper, the famous train journeys you have to take.